There is a robust debate in this country about the role government should play in people's lives. And one of the policy areas where that debate plays out most loudly is around public benefits like welfare, food stamps, and child care subsidies. That kind of spending typically happens directly. The government gives a recipient money. But the government also spends money through the tax code and gets money to residents for things like buying a house and saving for retirement. So do Americans care how their fellow citizens get government money? Well, turns out we do. Chris Ellis has studied this, and he joins me. He's an associate professor of political science at Bucknell University in Pennsylvania. He also directs the Survey Research Lab there. And Chris, it seems like people are less likely to support government just giving someone money than if those people get cash through a tax credit or incentive, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So we started by looking, this was a few years ago, but started by looking at something like the mortgage interest tax deduction, which most Americans support, but at the same time is also a program that's very regressive. It gives money mostly to upper-income earners and things like that. So we wanted to see if we reframe that program as something that gives people checks instead of a credit on their taxes, whether support would go down. And so we did some experiments and found that it not only went down, it went way down, because the idea seems almost absurd if you think about it, right? The government is going to send wealthy people checks for owning expensive homes and paying interest on their mortgages. And so that was, you know, that was sort of an eye-opener, right? And so we said, okay, well, if that's the case, then what would happen if we sort of change some of the welfare or food stamp or other benefits that we currently give through direct spending, and what if we frame those as tax credits? And yeah, we found that people generally tend to support programs a lot more, even identical programs that cost the same amount, if they're getting them through the tax code rather than through direct spending.
Did you find that there's a sense among citizens that if somebody is just getting a check, maybe they deserve it, maybe they don't, but if they get a tax credit or tax incentive, it must mean they're doing something to deserve that amount of money?
That's exactly right. So one of the things that we know about how Americans view social spending is that, you know, if we're looking at whether people support or oppose programs, sometimes ideology matters, sometimes self-interest matters, sometimes attitude toward the government matter. But what matters most is whether people think that the people who are getting aid are deserving of it. And we want to support programs for people we think are deserving and oppose programs for people we think aren't deserving. And you're right that what we found is that if you get money through the tax code, what that does in the minds of citizens is prime the idea of taxpayer. And we think taxpayers are people that are good, that are playing by the rules, that are doing the right things and sort of deserve whatever government we want to give them. If we prime the idea of direct spending, then what that sort of does is people living on the government dime, and there's a racial component to that as well. And so, yeah, if we're giving money through the tax code, it makes people think of taxpayers, and we like taxpayers because they're the ones that basically keep the government functioning.
It's interesting you brought up the race issue, because I'm curious how much race and maybe to an extent class play in those perceptions that people have about how their fellow taxpayers or fellow citizens get that money.
Oh, absolutely. And so that's a really good point. So we know that the issue of welfare particularly has been, I might call it, wild, that even though welfare is a program that is, you know, race is not part of the funding formula, it's all means tested, that people, at least white Americans and to some extent other races of Americans as well, when we hear welfare, we think black people getting welfare. And at least for some people, that might connote a negative racial stereotype. And so what we found when we talk about programs that distribute wealth downward through the tax code, something like the earned income tax credit, for example, it doesn't prime the same sorts of racial stereotypes, right? And we don't think about the program in the same racialized way. And given that there are, you know, still a significant, a shrinking, but significant number of Americans that hold negative racial stereotypes, that might make a program more popular just for that reason.
So in thinking about some of the ways that governments give cash payments to people, you think about things like food stamps, you think about things like child care subsidies, welfare obviously is in there. There are many others, of course. Are there ways to sort of transform those into tax credits that might make them more palatable to other Americans, but also more palatable to the policymakers who are enacting them?
Oh, I think there absolutely are. And you know, we've seen this with something, again, like the earned income tax credit. So Republicans, for example, for ideological and other reasons, have been deeply opposed to expanding the welfare state in terms of the welfare programs we have. But lots of Republicans, even during the 2016 primary debates, were very open to the idea of expanding the earned income tax credit, which basically gives people a credit on their taxes for working, right? And so it rewards work, but it also sort of removes the idea of government spending. And so we don't do a lot of that right now, but we could think of programs that might work that way, right? Things like funding for childcare or things like funding for community college that at least politically, I mean, economists might be a little bit upset because this is not the most efficient way to spend money. But politically, programs like that would be an easier lift if we talked about them as tax credits rather than as government just spending money.
If you were able to convert some of those cash payments into tax credits or tax incentives, is there a danger that they might not reach everybody in that form that they reach in a direct cash payment in terms of how people do their taxes and whether or not they have assistance, whether they understand the process and maybe don't know that they're eligible for one of those credits or incentives?
Right. And that's, I think, one of the biggest practical problems to this, right, that we know that a lot of people who are eligible for the earned income tax credit who could get some subsidy back for their work during the year don't file for it. And so there would be that concern that a lot of these would go unused and by people who don't know how to navigate the tax system because their taxes are, you know, obviously complicated enough as they are. And so there would have to be, you know, certainly an education piece that have to be some, you know, some other things involved here. But yeah, I mean, I think that would be one of the things that would have to work on if people were interested in these sorts of programs. How do we get Americans to know that they're available and that they can take advantage of them?
So do you get the sense that policymakers are looking at this option and maybe trying to make some of those conversions?
I think there are some evidence of this, right? Certainly with subsidizing low-income work. I think there is some sense that, you know, policymakers in both parties, and again, this is something different with tax expenditures than it is with direct spending, policymakers in both parties are interested in thinking about how we might subsidize this sort of work in a way that's beneficial to low-income families. So it's certainly going to take a while. I mean, obviously not a lot happens quickly in American politics anymore, but if you're looking for a place to start, I think this is the place where, to the extent that bipartisan agreement can be a real thing, I think this is one of the places where it might be a real thing.
All right. That's Chris Ellis. He's an associate professor of political science at Bucknell University. Chris, thanks a lot.
Thank you.